Ah, well, the cyber attack that's engulfed Channel 9, has it engulfed you, Denny Widley? Good morning.
Well, I'm not in Russia yet, so I'm okay. But it's actually pretty full-on. In all my years of work, I've never experienced something like this. It's half of our newsroom has had to be sent to Melbourne because that's where we can produce stories out of or get stories out of. But basically, we've got no internet. All our systems have been hacked, so we can't use any of the systems that we had to write and produce stories. So we've had to develop new systems or fall back onto old ones. Any story that we put together has to be sent down to Melbourne so we can put it to air. We have, as far as I know, we've got no more archives. So all of the years of television news that we've had at the moment, we can't access them, and we don't know if or when we'll be able to. So, I do a story on the news. Like, if I want to talk about a game 3 weeks ago, I've got no vision. We're having to use fresh vision. We have to try and source it elsewhere. I don't know how the people who operate our news on the weekend, I don't know how it's going to work when we do a match report. I don't know whether we're going to be able to put that vision in and get it onto the news in time. It's quite remarkable. Like, it is like we're scrambling at the moment. We're doing our best to put a news out. And the way that people are working in that newsroom is just something to be admired. I look at some of the people, the producers, the bosses there who are trying to implement things on the run. And the fact that we're getting a news to air is just a tribute to all of those people because it is... It's like nothing I've ever seen. I don't know what we've done to Vladimir or whoever to upset them, but someone's hacked in and hacked in really well. And we're doing it's everything that we're doing is we're doing our best. And I reckon not everything's going to be perfect when you see it go to air, but we're trying to put the news out.
Will this affect the broadcast of the footy over the weekend, Denny?
I don't think it's so much for the broadcast for the footy. But we couldn't do 100% footy last night. We couldn't do the Sunday footy show. So those sort of things have been impacted straight away. I'm a million miles from being a technical boffin. I'm lucky to just to switch my computer on, which by the way we can't do at the moment. We've got to operate off a hotspot off our phone. So we've got it's weird. To be honest, it's quite stressful.
Bring back the typewriter.
Well, yeah, that's great on TV.
Yeah, true.
We'll just shoot some
vision. The old fax, typewriter fax.
Yeah, we'll shoot some vision of us running the phone booth with hats on and following a story.
Perfect.
It's weird. It's weird.
Oh, it sounds like a nightmare, Denny.
It's a nightmare.
You upset the narc this morning.
Yeah, my phone's been running hot. Mate, I might have to start calling him National Narc News.
Oh, he will love that.
Narc, if you're out there listening, I apologise if I upset you. I'm totally unintentional. The mail for that Jared Haynes story came out of the NRL from the bosses, so they must agree with the Narc. Did Narc want Jared Haynes, his Daily M to be scrapped or not? I'm not sure, but... Yeah, the NRL, the view coming out of there is that if he fails in any appeal that goes ahead, there's a growing sense that maybe it's Jared Haynes' awards shouldn't be recognised. And it's quite a controversial subject because he earned those awards playing football. Whether the game now wants to disassociate itself with the achievements of Jared Haynes, it appears to be on the cards. That's certainly coming from some of the leading officials in rugby league. I think it's an issue that could cause considerable debate. I went and spoke to the Messenger family, and the view there was that whilst they don't agree with what Jared is in trouble for and what he's been found guilty of, they don't believe it should affect what he's done in football. I'd be interested in your view, Laurie, and Pup, even with your view in sport as well. Like, should something this serious impact on what he achieved as a sportsman?
Oh, it's certainly a debate that's worthwhile having. As I sit here and now, I'm of the opinion you let the court case still run its matter. He's been found guilty, but he's going to challenge it and see what happens from there. But it's a big decision for the game if you're going to take an award off someone based on what happens away from the game. And you've got to remember this happened too when he wasn't an NRL player. And if someone does something seriously wrong 5 years, 10 years after they finish playing, do you punish that player as well? So there's a lot of things to take into consideration, and that's why people are in charge of running the game, because they're on big dollars and they make those decisions and everyone has to abide by them. But it's something that will be debated, no doubt about it, if the appeal fails.
Look, for something far less serious, the Melbourne Storm lost competition. And we're talking about a footballing matter, but it relates, well, it was an off-field matter, but it relates to football. And they lost their titles. And there's an asterisk there now in the record books, isn't there? There's no...
Yeah.
They lost entire competitions for what they did. And, I'm not comparing what Hayne has done to what the Melbourne Storm did. I think what Hayne has done is far, far, far worse. And obviously, he's got his right to appeal. And when I look at it like that, David Gallop showed a fair bit of gumption way back when to act in the manner that he did. And if the likes of Andrew Abdo and Peter Volandis are leaning towards taking an award away from Jarryd Hayne, I think that they've got some grounds to do it. Because every time the Daily M honour roll is listed out, you'll see Hayne there, you'll see vision of him, of him doing what he did on the field. And whether do we want to celebrate that? I don't know. I find it a little bit uncomfortable now, even when I see some of the highlights of his career. And that's really unfortunate, because he was a fantastic footballer. But what has happened since then is totally unacceptable.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then, it leads into other things, like if you're involved in, drug importation 10 years after you've finished, or you're involved in in whatever incident it may occur, do you go through and strip everyone from their record, from the history books?
If it's a serious crime, I think it's something that the NRL is within its rights to look at.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And I think it'll sit very uncomfortable with a lot of people if you have a convicted a sex offender on the record books in the history of the game, just sitting there. And I think a lot of people would think that would be uncomfortable. But
we're not having a particular shot at Jarryd Hayne. I'm talking about it in general.
General, yeah, that's exactly
and
right.
And I think that generally it's something that the NRL really needs to have a serious look at. And I think once they know more about whether there's an appeal or not, and once they know about a sentence or whenever that'll be, in around May 6th, I think it is, I think they'll have firmer views after that point.
Yeah. And I think that, a lot of people in the NRL would be having those discussions, and it's something for them to come up with their decision.
Yep.
And whatever decision they make, it will divide people as well.
Correct.
Yeah. Thoughts on the Roosters being forced to select Sam Walker with their massive injury toll, Denny?
I went down to Roosters training yesterday, and it was quite the sight. On the sideline were Siwa Takiaho, the Morris boys, Lindsay Collins was walking around in a moon boot, Daniel Tupou was in training. Jake Friend was actually running separately from the team. I saw Boyd Cordner arrive at the offices, but not out on the field. You look at what... There's no sign of Luke Keary yesterday. And you look at what they're going through at the moment, and it is quite the injury hit. Trent Robinson, I spoke to him yesterday, and he said 3 weeks ago he had 28 available players. Now he's got 19. So they're in a real spot of bother. And I don't think too many clubs around the league will feel one bit sorry for the Roosters. But that's the situation there. And I watched two people particularly closely at training yesterday. First of all, Joseph Suwali. He's quite the athlete. I mean, I haven't had the ability to watch the Roosters train until yesterday. It's the first time I've seen him, you know, amongst the squad. He looks ready. He looks like he could run out and play now. He's, for a 17-year-old, I haven't seen a 17-year-old that athletically able to match it with older men for a long, long time. His strength, you can just see when he runs, when he takes off and does things with the ball. He's got it. And the other one, obviously, is Sam Walker, who will be, like, Tuwali probably won't be selected in the actual side at this point. When I spoke to Robinson, that's what he said yesterday, that as for Sam Walker, he's playing. He's a little thing. There's not much of him. Like, he's Luke Keary size, but everybody you speak to at the Roosters say he's almost a very similar player to Luke Keary. James Tedesco said he's an eyes up footballer, someone who is natural. He's not necessarily a structure player, but he's just got it. And they say he's, you know, Tedesco said he's a gun, and to watch him and his speed, you can see he's got a good football sense, and he comes from a footballing family. So I think his debut will be one of the stories of this week and maybe even the season, because he's going to now have to carry a multi-million-dollar football organisation on his shoulders. I know they've got Tedesco and they've got other players, but the halfback, determines a lot of their results.
We love a rumour in rugby league, and already the rumours are starting to circle around that Jimmy Maloney might be on his way back to the Roosters.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I rang Nick Politis on Saturday and said, look, have you got any wriggle room in your cap? And he was of the opinion that when I put him on the spot, he was of the opinion of no, not really. But you never know with the Roosters, do you? They've got a way of making things happen. James Maloney has been saying for years that he wanted to finish his career in France. He wanted his family to experience Europe. And I don't know if that has changed at all, because I haven't talked to him in a short time since Keary went down injured. But that was always his ambition, to be, to show his family a bit of Europe. I don't know whether he's been able to do that given everything that's happened with COVID. So that may enter his thinking, but I don't know how old Jimmy would be now. He'd be mid-30s by now, wouldn't he?
52. Still kicking. Still playing good footy.
Not that really matters that much with him, because he's one of those footballers who can get around the field well. There'd be worse things the Roosters could do, wouldn't there?
Yeah. He's 35 this year.
There you go. Like, yeah. 35. They do have, like, they'll get Lachlan Lamb back in a few weeks, but they are in a real bother, spot of bother in the halves. Remember, they let Kyle Flanagan go last year as well. So, and they just last, or just a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, I spoke to Trent Robinson, and he said they were basing their whole season on Luke Keary being, the dominant player. And I guess it now falls onto James Tedesco.
Denny, what's your take on this conversation in and around Jason Taumalolo and State of Origin? Do you think he should be eligible?
I don't want to be insulting to anyone who's putting the idea up. But please, do we need it? I just don't see why we need it. I mean, I think State of Origin is about players who, well, they should be eligible to play for Australia. I think from memory, Jason made a very strong stance about playing for Tonga and create. He was the inspiration behind what was, a great rise in that nation in terms of rugby league and when they beat Australia. And he's already played for New Zealand too, I think. So I just don't see. I think we always talk about damaging the fabric of the game and the credibility of the game. I think something like that damages it. I really do. I think we've just got to. If he was eligible to play for Australia. Josh Papali, he plays for Queensland, and he's made his choice. I think Jason made his choice earlier, And maybe I'm getting it totally wrong, but I just don't see a huge amount of merit in it.
What about South Sydney? Very impressive against the Roosters the other night, Denny. Adam Reynolds is still, you know, undecided on his future and wants a 2 to 3 year deal, and the Rabbitohs aren't moving. But there's also another player there that could be on the move, Dane Gagai. What's the latest with him?
Yeah, it's interesting. Loz, I caught up with your man, Steve Gillis, yesterday, and he gave me a bit of a scoop because he was watching the game, obviously, when he saw all the Hollywood A-listers partying with the Rabbitohs. He told me that South signed Chris Hemsworth as their new halfback. So maybe that's why they're balking on Reynolds. But look, I think that Gagai, look, if Reynolds is there, the way South have explained it to me is there's no room for Dane Gagai. So if he stays, Dane will be elsewhere, and there'll be a stack of clubs looking at him. He's been put to Parramatta, but from early indications I've been getting, Brad Arthur wasn't that keen on signing him up because he won't come cheap.
No.
But there'll be, you would think there'll be half a dozen clubs interested in him because he is a quality footballer, and I know he's played his best football for Queensland, but I think he's getting more consistent at a club level, and he's providing better value for money. And he's a genuinely good runner, and he's a try scorer. So I don't think he'll have an issue picking up a club, but he may struggle to stay at South unless they get some sort of relief in their cap. And with the Reynolds situation, on a serious note, I did speak to Steve Gillis about that, and he said that it's still where it is. There's no one's budging. And sooner rather than later, clubs are going to start coming knocking and trying to sign Adam Reynolds up. And that's going to be a hard time for South Sydney fans because they love him. But unless there's some softening on behalf of the club and the administration, that's not going to change. I think they're at a real stalemate. And I think it could get a bit ugly there. There's potential for it. But Souths have their reasons. They are very much against the idea of signing older players onto longer deals. And they want Adam Reynolds to do what John Sutton did, go year by year. And if their belief was if it's good enough for John Sutton, it's good enough for Adam Reynolds.
Denny, go and deal with Putin and sort that situation out there at Nine. But, mate, appreciate your time. And in all seriousness, though, I hope you can sort it out. Sounds difficult.
I think it's going to be a bit of a battle for a while. Putin and the NARC are after me. It's not a good situation.
It's been a big morning for you.
I do feel like part of the team now. The NARC's given it to me. That's great.
You've made it. On you, Denny.
See ya.